So today we're going to look at overcoming trials and tribulations, struggles in life, and it's simple, but it's hard to do. Yeah? There are things in life that are very simple. I can say it to you, and you'd be like, yes, that is correct. Thank you. But when it doesn't come, when it stays in our head and doesn't go to our heart, that's where we have the disconnect. It's very difficult sometimes to get this to connect to this. And if you're more of a person now, we all have different personalities, but if you're more of a person that is more analytical, that maybe wants to think things through longer, there's nothing wrong with that. But sometimes it's difficult for that type of person to get it in here. And sometimes it's very difficult for a person in here to get it up here. Just different. And so how do we do that? And struggling with life's ups and downs. I want to read a scripture to you this morning and take a little bit of an angle from it, just to kind of, let's read the scripture and we'll go in from there. Matthew 14, 22 to 32, it says this. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. I'm going to stop there. How many here go by themselves to pray? Often. Not often, right? How many do it a little bit, sometimes? And how many don't do it at all? Sometimes I don't do it. Take an example from this. This is very important. You can't hear what God is saying to you amongst the noise. Jesus was around a whole bunch of people. I tend to be a type of person that retreats because I need to get away from the noise. But I it's not like I don't like being around the crowd, but I need to go back and ponder. And Jesus is showing us an example here where he had to go and pray. He had to go by himself. No disruptions, nobody bugging him, just by himself. So he went up there himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone. And the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves, because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walked on the lake. I really would like to walk on a lake. I've tried, it doesn't work. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. Now, just imagine you in a boat watching someone walk across the water while you're in the boat. You're going to think it's a ghost. Or it's one of those magical guys from Las Vegas that can walk on water. But you're definitely going to think something's up if it's in the middle of a lake or in the ocean or wherever. So when the disciples saw them walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter, "Oh, Peter, Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" Well, I got a couple of reasons for you why you doubted. And they climbed into the boat. The wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Each of us is an original. You are original. You're unique. You're special in your own right. You're created with a purpose. And finding that purpose is what our spiritual journey is all about. For most of us, it's hard to really appreciate the moments because we're busy chasing the future. How many of you here are chasing the future? We chase the future. I chase the future. I got plans. Big plans. Things to do. God, catch up. We think. We are misled into thinking that there will be a secret life at the end of this journey. That secret, whatever it is at the end of it, that we're reaching for. At our best, most of us live life with a sense of gratitude, and yet at our worst, we can be complaining about what we don't have. If we're single, we want a mate. If we're poor, we want money. If we have an old car, what do we want? A new car. No, you had a great car for a very long time. That was impressive. That was probably held together because of Jesus, but that was impressive. If we're sick, we want to get well. Of course we do. Always believing whatever you fill what it is in will satisfy us, whatever that thing is we're chasing. And all of those things in and of themselves, they're not bad. They're not undesirable. But if we put the importance on those things more than we should, we can be guaranteed to be disappointed by wanting more, if that's possible. We can also allow life situations to affect us negatively. Have you ever had one of those days? And most of the time, I can just say, have you ever had one of those days? And everybody goes, yeah, I'm actually having it today. When you get up in the morning, realize your alarm didn't go off. You go downstairs, realize you don't have time for coffee, so you're like, I'm going to go to Tim Hortons or whatever it is you're into, Starbucks. I have no idea. I'm not going to judge you. And you go in, you order your drink, because you need one. You can't go to work without it. Seriously, we don't want you to go without it. It's an addiction. Christian believes it strongly. It's an addiction. He does not have that addiction. You get there, you do your thing, you get in the car. It's hard to start. Things are wrong. Traffic's bad. There's just so many things piling up in your day. Computer doesn't work. How many seen the rainbow wheel? I don't like the rainbow wheel. Okay. How many have seen the on a PC, if you're going to go there, that thing that says there's a illegal error, like you've done some crime? Illegal error. When I first saw that, I was like, I don't know what I just did. And you expect the cops to come through the door at any moment because you've done an illegal error. You've had one of those, and then you get to your desk, you sit down, or wherever you work. Maybe you're in a shop, maybe you're at a school, maybe you're whatever you do. You sit down and you take a sip. That's not what I ordered. I am quite picky. I'm peculiar as well. But that's a slip. I'm going to be ridden for that. Oh, that's never going to end. But as far as the coffee goes, I like a specific coffee, and I don't like it to be changed. Michelle will know. She's tried to trick me a few times. And Michelle, if you don't know, is a lovely, lovely woman. And she takes care of me quite well. And every morning, she gets up with me, no matter where I'm going, and she will make me an espresso. But if she tries to trick me with a different brand, I know instantly. And as she says, I can be quite a diva. There's no judgment on that. There's no judgment. So she tries to trick me, and that could be a bad day for me. Because I have this thing where I need that flavor. There's another time when at Christmas, we get the same thing pretty much every year, okay? Yes, I'm 44 and I play one video game only, and it's a hockey game. So I'm excited for Christmas morning. I get up at 5 a.m. trying to wake the kids up. They're like, go to bed. Michelle's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I want to get down there. I really want to play my game, right? Santa. So, finally at around 9 o'clock, 4 hours later, I'm in agony. We get down there. I go to my stocking. There's no game in it. And I'm like, what am I going to do all day? What a horrible Christmas. Super dramatic. I didn't have a game, just to tell you. I had no game. So I was forced to pay attention to the family. It was brutal. I'm kidding. But there are those days you just wake up and things just don't go right. Maybe it's something you did, maybe it's something you didn't do, but you just can't get it going. And things don't go right. No matter what you touch, it crumbles in front of you. And I've told this story before of where we were driving on the beach which we were told it was a highway, it's legal. They said, the state of Washington said we could drive on it. I drove on it, and Michelle's going, you need to slow down. This isn't snow. You need to stop. In my little Honda Accord, I'm like, you're fine, you're fine, you're fine. And I hit the gas even harder. She goes, it's not like snow. You can't plow through it. And I'm like, I'm a professional driver. You sit back and listen, watch this. Zip in, solid in the sand, waves start coming in, tide starts moving in. I'm panicking. It was a bad day. iPhone 911, we're stranded on the beach. My car is going to be flooded in about a half an hour. She's like, well, we can't help you. You're 911. That's your job. You need to help me. Brandon and I frantically digging, frantically panicking, trying to dig a car out of sand. That was a bad day. Now, that was my fault. I didn't say it was always not my fault. I'm just saying it was a bad day. But there are those days where you're just like, you know what? I'm just going to crawl back into bed, wait for tomorrow, and then we can start this all over again. Hopefully better. And there just doesn't seem to be enough time in that day. You're looking for time. I've said to the staff many times, I need one more day or two in the week. We need to add another couple days here. I need more hours. You can be the most organized person in the world, but if a number of things come up that need to be addressed, and of course you did not plan for it, these interruptions will take your attention and steer it towards that. It's the feeling you are in a rush and nothing is going right, everything is unraveling at once, and it's crashing down around you. And this doesn't have to be just your morning. This can be what's going on in your life. You could have sick people in your life. You could have sickness yourself. You could be dealing with financial issues, relationships. There's so many things that could just be weighing you down. They may not be your fault. They may be. And sometimes there's just nothing you can do about it. And sometimes life can just be tough. It can be difficult. And I want to encourage you this morning, don't live in the difficult times only. You need to come through that. But while you're in it, there's some things that you need to know. There's some things that you need to remember. And it doesn't mean it's going to be easy. It could be a second by second, minute by minute reminder every time you walk through these things. And so when we deal with life's tough situations, it seems like everything is coming unraveled. You need to go through it. Because something is happening. You are learning something. And if you can't pull things out of your life experiences and learn from them, how will you get through it and how will you help others? You can't do it. You have to be able to experience it. It may not be pleasant, but you need to walk through it. So there are three reminders that I want to remind you of this morning. I want to remind you that Jesus is with you. And I know it sounds simple, and I know it sounds like he doesn't feel like he is, but he is. Even through the storm. What happened? Jesus was on dry land. He sent the disciples out on the boat, knowing exactly what was going to happen. If you believe that Jesus was all-knowing and all-powerful, you knew there was a purpose in this. Sends them out on their own, and he's like, I'm going to go pray. I'll deal with you guys later. I'll meet you. The one question I have is, did anyone ask, well, where's your boat? Nobody asked that. But that's all right. Verse 22 says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him on the other side while he dismissed the crowd. We are sometimes safer in the storm than outside of the storm. And I know it doesn't sound right, but if you look at the storm as God is walking you through this for a reason, and we sometimes call that his will, then you are going through it and you're going to come out the end because he is with you. The disciples didn't realize that he was with them. And there are days when it does not feel like he is with you. but he is. It doesn't change that fact. But until we come to that realization, and it's not going to be a one-time thing. It's not going to be a thing where I go, Jesus is with me. Good. Because in about 10 minutes, somebody else is going to have a problem, or I'm going to have another problem, or that problem is going to bubble up to the surface again, and then I'm going to feel like he's not with me. Have you ever been told that feelings aren't necessarily always correct? It's unfortunate. They may be real for you, but it doesn't mean they're correct in that situation. Because a lot of people will say, well, that's how I feel, or this is the way, you know, that's fine that you feel that way, but it might be wrong in the situation. So the key is, yes, you feel this way. So now how do I come about correcting that feeling and knowing and trusting in God? How do I do that? Every time God is with me, I get it, I know it. Scripture that comes up, trust in the Lord always. That's why it's important to know the Word of God. What has been left for us to learn about the character of God and what he's like. And so that's why we spend time in devotion. There are two primary kinds of storms that come to us, and they are storms that correct, so to awaken us, to make a change, to make us realize, to discipline us, to get our attention. How many need attention when God's trying to speak to them? How many need a smack right upside the head? I'm not going to point at any fingers at anybody except this guy. Sometimes I need a smack upside the head. You don't have to lift your hand. I'm not a priest. I don't take confessions. But you need to realize that sometimes he's just trying to get your attention. And sometimes it's not necessarily him putting you through it, but you're going through it, and so he's going to come along and draw attention to something. Because he can utilize even the worst situations. Second storm is to build character, to deepen our faith, to give us more sensitivity to the suffering of other people. When you go through something and someone else then is going through that same thing a little while later, it's not that you know how they feel, it's that you know what they're going through. And you can be a great example to those people by walking them through, by being there, by listening. Sometimes you don't have to say anything. In fact, most of the times, you shouldn't. Because you just cause more trouble and grief. People think they're helping. Just listen. That's why I love being involved in chaplaincy, because it's about listening. It's not about me fixing. I have a really hard time with that because, as Michelle will attest, I like to fix all of the problems that exist in our family, in our world. Well, if you just did this, it's pretty clear it'll fix it. But they don't necessarily need that. How many have someone in their life that wants to fix every problem they have when they come to them? That's not fair. But it's true, we're natural fixers. Some of us are. And so to listen and not do anything, sometimes that's all you need to do. And that's what we need to realize about Jesus. He is there, listening quietly. And when we go through these struggles, we need to realize that sometimes that pressure is a good thing, and God will use that. You can't make wine without pressing grapes. I know I said wine in a Pentecostal church. My apologies. You can't make a fragrance without crushing flowers. And you can't have joy without some sorrow. It's a balance. If there's good, there has to be bad. And that sometimes is what life is about. So if you're going through a storm and everything around you is out of control, consider that the storm may be shaping you into something that you don't even see yet, and that God is there with you. You are not alone. Secondly, Jesus is interceding for you. He prays for the disciples. Romans chapter 8, 34 says, "Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Verse 23 of our scripture this morning says, after he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside to pray by himself. Jesus is giving the example of praying for us, and we are to pray for others, but he is also interceding for his followers. He's praying for everyone. Interceding. And interceding is not just a casual prayer. It is intense praying. It is thoughtful. It is purposeful. It is focused. It is sacrificial. God has never lost touch. Jesus has never lost touch with the situation that we're going through. Jesus knows what it is to suffer. The human side of him experienced more pain than we will ever understand. And the writers of Hebrews says this, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. And in Luke 22, verses 31 and 32, it says this, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. What do we learn from that? That our faith, the prayer is that our faith will not fail, that we won't give up. When the pressure's on, we won't cave in. And that we will turn back to him. And the thought that Jesus intercedes for his people is very reassuring when you're going through stuff. The third reminder is that Jesus brings peace. And that's hard to find when you're going through it. The peace is in waves. It's not always there. It comes, it goes. It's there for a little while, and then it's gone for longer than it seems. Have you ever been in a situation where you're like, that was the longest 30 seconds of my life? That's what peace is like. It's there, and then when it's gone, you're like, whoa, this. We have the same thing when we're in the fire department, when there's a very large fire happening and we're the only truck that pulls up on scene and there's a raging, raging house fire. The next 30 seconds is an eternity for help to come. Four people fighting a massive thing, and it could be whatever it is. It could be in the police department, it could be ambulance, it doesn't matter what it is. But those first chaotic minutes take forever. And that feeling of, this is completely out of my control and uncontainable. That's what life is like sometimes. It seems like it's uncontainable. It's out of my control. It's a raging fire that I can't fix. Why do we have people around us in the church? Because they're the resources coming. They're the help that's coming. And that's what you can do for others that are going through the raging fire. We tend to forget to pray too. And I use the illustration of praying. There was one time I was in a house fire with a partner. We were going in. And as I grab the hose and as I grab my partner, we bust through the door. We go up the stairs and there is smoke and fire. It is a disaster. It's not like in the movies, because if you cover your eyes like this, that's how much you see. That's how much you see. You don't walk in with your shirt off, showing your chest hairs, and my chiseled abs running through with suspenders on, pulling babies out. Okay, it's not like that. It doesn't work that way. But as we're in there, the smoke is probably down to here. And the first thing the guy in front of me says is, I can't see. Really? Shocking. So I reach in front of him, force him down to his knees, on his hands and knees. And what happens? I can see. Prayer, you need to be on your knees. And I mean that metaphorically. You don't have to be on your knees. You can sit and do it. But when we are going through troubles, when we can't see the future, when we can't see what's happening because of the smoke in our face, get on your knees. Get on your knees. And all of a sudden, you may not be able to see the end, but you will be able to see a lot more than you're here, because God will reveal that to you. And so today I remind you that he will bring that peace to you. We doubt way too much. The fact is this. It's only human. But the more you trust him, the more you are on your knees, the more you pray, the more natural trust will come to you in your life. The more you will be able to put that trust in him. Because doing it once feels great, but then you forget. You forget. And you struggle and you struggle and you struggle. Each time you do it, it gets easier and easier. Doesn't mean the situation is easier. It means that the trust is easier to give over to him. Notice the progression in these events of Jesus walking on the water. Jesus caught the sinking Peter. They walked to the boat together. Jesus climbed into their boat with him. And then with him came the calm in the storm that they were looking for. How do you get the calm in your storm? I don't know what your situation is like. I don't know what it looks like to you. But trusting in him on your knees, you will see clearer. And you will get the peace you are looking for. Maybe it's not here right now. Maybe it comes in waves. Maybe, but it will come. And sometimes you will get the peace in the storm without the storm subsiding. This isn't a, well, if I trust in him, I won't have a storm. And I will get out of the storm. Sometimes those storms last a pretty long time. But when we're trusting in him, that peace through the storm will come. It has to come to an end. When there's a beginning, there's an end. If it's good, there has to be bad. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for what you are doing in our lives. I pray that your word will saturate our mind, that we will learn to change, that we will make baby steps forward. And although we may go forward a couple steps and go back a few, that you will help us to realize that you are with us through the storm, that you are walking us through it. And I pray that you will give those here that are going through struggles, that you will give them peace as they walk through the storms of life. We thank you for what you're doing in our lives, in our church, in the community around us. Let us be that light and that example for those that are struggling right now. In Jesus' name.